Hello, everybody. Hello, hello, hello. This is Jay Smooth, and you are listening to radio.dominican.edu, and this is Bald is Life. Thank you for tuning in and listening to me today. I have a very interesting show for you today. Today, we'll be talking about the NBA playoffs. We will break down the first round for the NBA playoffs, talk about some of the underdogs that teams do not want to play in the playoffs in the NBA, and also we'll talk about Lamar Odom signing with the New York Knicks. So let's start it off here with the NBA playoffs. So the NBA season ended yesterday, and so the playoff seeds, they're all the matchups in the first round are all set up. So we'll talk about that and give you my analysis and my prediction on who is going to win each series. So first series we're going to start with is in the East. We're going to start off in the East. So it's the number one seed Indiana Pacers. They will be playing the number eight seed, the Atlanta Hawks. Game one is this Saturday, April 19th at 4 o'clock on ESPN. So in the regular season, they split 2-2, so it's an even series. These teams know each other well. Actually, the Hawks have played the Pacers pretty well during the regular season. So Atlanta's happy that Miami did not get the first seed because Miami destroyed Atlanta during the regular season. But against Indiana, they split 2-2. The biggest X factor in this whole series is going to be the Indiana Pacers' chemistry. It's a key to mention the difficult matchups that the Hawks present for Indiana and Roy Hibbert. Specifically, the big man was the league's best defensive player through the first 50 games of the season, but fatigue and a complete offensive breakdown for the Indiana Pacers resulted in a second-half benching against the Hawks on April 6th. So the Hawks, you know, they make Roy Hibbert feel uncomfortable. So, because, you know, they have Al Horford, Paul Millsap of the Atlanta Hawks. Al Horford's Atlanta center, and then Paul Millsap is his forward. So they play Roy Hibbert real well, and that's one of the keys to make Indiana struggle is to shake up Roy Hibbert, because Roy Hibbert is one of their key players, and he makes a big impact for the Pacers. So yes, Paul George and, you know, George Hill, Lance Stephenson are all a big part of Indiana's success, but the biggest part of success for Indiana goes through Roy Hibbert. He's 7 feet tall. He plays good with his back against the basket. He plays good defense. So if you get in his head and shake him up a little bit, Atlanta's going to have a good chance and might pull off the upset. So Atlanta is going to make this tough. Each game's not going to be a blowout, but I do expect Indiana to advance into the second round. So Indiana will win the series in 6 games. So Indiana, I'm going to pick Indiana in the series, and they'll win 4-2 in 6 games. Next series that we are talking about in the Eastern Conference is going to be the number 2 seed Miami Heat, and they will be playing the number 7 seed Charlotte Bobcats. So game 1 is Sunday, April 20th at 12:30 on ABC. The regular season series, the Heat swept the Bobcats 4-0 throughout the regular season. Also, let's go back till when the big three of Miami, when LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh all joined on the Heat and all played for the Heat. The Heat are 15-0 against the Bobcats in the big three era. So Miami has just dominated Charlotte throughout these last 3 years, throughout 3 to 4 years. So I don't expect anything big. Even though Charlotte has been playing real good, they just beat Chicago last night. I don't see this series going on as going on far. I think the Heat do sweep Charlotte 4-0. But Charlotte has been playing good. Al Jefferson's been playing good. Kemba Walker has been playing good. But I think the Heat just have too much and they overpower Charlotte. So I'm going to pick the Heat in four games. Next series in the Eastern Conference is a tough one. It's going to be the number three seed Toronto Raptors versus the six seed Brooklyn Nets. Game one is Saturday at 9:30 a.m. on ESPN. The regular season series, they split 2-2. And the X factor for this series is the backcourt matchups. You know, they're going to have Kyle Lowry of the Toronto Raptors will go against Deron Williams of the Brooklyn Nets. You also got DeMar DeRozan of the Toronto Raptors going against Joe Johnson of the Brooklyn Nets. Paul Pierce versus Terrence Ross. Terrence Ross plays for Toronto. Paul Pierce plays for Brooklyn. So it's going to be interesting to see because they're all good guards, all good backcourt players. So it's going to be interesting. You know, Jason Kidd, he's the head coach of the Brooklyn Nets. This is his first playoff series as a head coach. And I think what's going to hurt Toronto in this series is that they're going against a veteran team. They've got Brooklyn's got guys like Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, Deron Williams, Joe Johnson, Brooke Lopez, who have been in the playoffs and have made a deep run into the playoffs, and they know what it takes to win the championship. Whereas Toronto, they're very young. They're not experienced. This is their first playoff series in a while. So Toronto's, they're a very good young team, and I expect them to be in the playoffs for years to come. But as their first playoff series, I don't see them playing Brooklyn Nets because the Brooklyn Nets are a good team. So I pick the Brooklyn Nets to upset the Toronto Raptors in seven games. So I think this series is going to go seven games, and I'm taking the Brooklyn Nets to overcome the Toronto Raptors. And then the last series of the East, it's the number four Chicago Bulls versus the number five Washington Wizards. See, this is a series that I see going seven because these are two good teams. Game one is Sunday at 4 p.m. on TNT. The regular season series is the Wizards won the regular season series 2-1, but I think this series is going seven games. The biggest X factor in the series is Nene, the center of the Washington Wizards. He's the biggest X factor because they need him to play great against Joakim Noah, and he needs to control Joakim Noah. He needs to contain him. He can't Joakim Noah go off for like 20 points and 10 rebounds. He's got to limit him somehow. So it's going to be a lot of fun to watch because that's going to be a great matchup to watch in this series. But I see this series going seven games, and I am going to take Chicago because I just feel like Chicago is the better team. And again, they're more experienced. They've been in the playoffs before, even though they don't have Derrick Rose or Luol Deng, because Deng they traded and Derrick Rose is out with an injury. I feel like Joakim Noah brings that leadership and experience to overcome the young Washington Wizards. Because again, just like Toronto, the Washington is also a young team who they've got John Wall, Bradley Beal, Otto Porter Jr., Trevor Ariza, Nene, Gortat. They're a young team that's, you know, coming into their own, but I don't think this is the year for them to advance and make a deep run. So they will be, I expect them, just like Toronto, to be in the playoffs for years to come, but I don't see them overcoming a veteran team like Chicago. So I'm taking the Chicago Bulls in seven games. So let's go out west, talk about the Western Conference series. So first series is the number one San Antonio Spurs playing the number eight Dallas Mavericks. Game one is Sunday at 10 a.m. on TNT. the regular season series. The Spurs swept Dallas 4-0. The biggest X factor right now is Dirk Nowitzki. He needs to have... Everyone's talking about, does Dirk Nowitzki still have another championship run in him? To me, I don't think so, because he can win a championship if he also had like another star with him. He really doesn't have the star. I don't think he has another championship run as him, as for him to be the main guy. He needs like another guy to compliment him. So like, he needs another scorer who can score on their own. They can get shots on their own, and they don't have that in Dallas. They do have, you know, Monte Ellis, Jose Calderon, Vince Carter, but he's up there in age. So I don't see this being a very competitive series, because San Antonio, they got their big three. They got, you know, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, Tim Duncan. You also can't forget about Kawhi Leonard, Danny Green, Tiago Splitter. So the Spurs, they were in the finals last year. They know what it takes, and I see them overcoming the Dallas Mavericks. I see them sweeping the Dallas Mavericks 4-0 like they did in the regular season. So San Antonio will beat the Dallas Mavericks in four games. Next series in the Western Conference is the number two Thunder, Oklahoma City Thunder, versus the 7-seed Memphis Grizzlies. Game one is Saturday at 6:30 p.m. on ESPN. The regular season series, the Thunder won 3-1. But this is going to be interesting, because these teams have played in the playoffs before, and they're always, you know, they're very Memphis is very physical down low with Marc Gasol and Zach Randolph. And they have, Memphis has the advantage there, because, you know, Oklahoma City doesn't, their front court doesn't compare as well as with Memphis's front court, because, you know, Memphis has, again, Zach Randolph and Marc Gasol, where OKC has Kendrick Perkins and Serge Ibaka. Serge Ibaka, he's a great player, but I don't see him competing well with Zach Randolph in the post. But it's going to be a great series. It's going to be closer than what people think. But I'm tempted to take Memphis here, but I think OKC just has too much star power. They got, you know, MVP candidate and Kevin Durant, who's playing lights out. Russell Westbrook is playing lights out. So I think that overcomes Memphis's advantage in the front court with Marc Gasol and Zach Randolph. So I'm going to take the Thunder in six games. Thunder in six games. I'm taking 4-2 Thunder. Next series is the number 3-seed Los Angeles Clippers versus the number 6-seed Golden State Warriors. Game one is Saturday at 12:30 on ABC. Regular season series was split 2-2. So this, to me, this is the first round series that is going to be the most interesting, exciting, nail-biting series, because these teams are so even. And it's just crazy. This is the series that I'm going to watch throughout, because it's going to be so fun. They play in the same division. They're already kind of don't like each other. They've had incidents in the past where they've, you know, had fights and they've been taunting each other. So this is going to be a good series. It's also going to be kind of sad, because these are two great young teams that I would like to see make a deep run, but one of them's gonna have to lose in the first round. So it's crazy, because they're two different styles. You know, the Clippers like to run. They like to throw lobs, pick and roll with their Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan, Chris Paul. They also can shoot with, you know, Jamal Crawford, Danny Granger, Jared Dudley, JJ Redick. So, and then the Warriors, they just like to shoot threes, you know, with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Harrison Barnes, Andre Iguodala. They also can throw it inside with David Lee, Andrew Bogut. So it's going to come down to like who's going to be making their shots. If Golden State can make their threes, they can win it. If Blake Griffin plays tougher than he has in the past in the playoffs. So it's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be the small things, the little small things that is going to decide this series. I'm going to go with the upset here. I'm going to go Golden State in 7 games. I like the Warriors. I think they didn't play as well as everyone thought they did in the regular season, so I think they're going to step it up for the playoffs, and I think they'll knock off the Los Angeles Clippers in 7 games. And then the last series of the first round is the number 4 seed Houston Rockets versus the number 5 seed Portland Trail Blazers. Game 1 is Sunday at 6:30 p.m. on ESPN. Regular season series, the Rockets won 3-1. I don't see this series being really competitive. I think Houston will either sweep Portland or win in 5 games. I like Portland. They're a young team. They're unexpected. No one expected them to be in the playoffs. They got off to a hot start. You know, they got Damian Lillard, LaMarcus Aldridge, Nicholas Batum, Wesley Matthews. But I think the Rockets have too much star power, too much talent that will overcome Portland. So I expect this 4-1 in 5 games. I pick Houston because they got James Harden, who's playing hot right now, Dwight Howard, Chandler Parsons, Patrick Beverley. So I believe Houston's going to win in 5 games, 4-1. So we're going to take a quick break. And when I come back, I'll be talking about the underdogs that in the NBA playoffs that teams need to look out for. So this is Ball of Life, Jay Smooth, and you're listening to radio.dominican.edu.
She gets up and pours herself a strong one. Stares out at the stars up in the sky. Another night, it's gonna be a long one. She draws a shade and hangs her head to cry. She wonders how it ever got this crazy. She thinks about so far gone, she feels just like a fool. My, oh my, you sure know.
like yours, milady like yours. She'd walk down through the garden in the morning after it rained.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Ball is Live. So, we just talked about the playoff, first round playoffs, the first round playoff series throughout the NBA playoffs, and then I gave my predictions, and now I'm going to talk about the most dangerous underdogs in the NBA playoffs. So, there's some teams out there that people don't expect to win their series, that or don't expect to make a deep run in the playoffs and win a contend for a title, but there are some teams that are very dangerous and that can make a run for an NBA championship. So first off, we got to start off with the Chicago Bulls. The Chicago Bulls are the most dangerous underdog team in the playoffs. So if they win their series against the Washington Wizards, which I expect them to do, they'll either play Indiana or Atlanta. So I expect Indiana to beat Atlanta in the first round. So it's going to be Indiana-Chicago in the second round. I can see Chicago knocking off Indiana in the second round and then playing most likely Miami in the Eastern Conference Finals. And I can see them knocking off Miami in the Eastern Conference Finals and playing in the NBA Finals in June. The Chicago Bulls are one of the toughest teams in the league to play, hands down. Even though they don't have Derrick Rose, who's out for the rest of the season, they still got, they play great defense because that's what Tom Thibodeau, their head coach, that's what he emphasized. They, you know, he wants them to play great defense. They're a defensive teams for defensive team. They also have a leader in Joakim Noah. He's one of the best leaders in the NBA. He leads through his playing and also his passion. So I like Joakim Noah. They also have Jimmy Butler, Carlos Boozer, who knows what it takes to win in the playoffs. They got DJ Augustine, who was a late sign when Derrick Rose went down. He's a nice player. That they got Kirk Heinrich. They got Jimmy Butler. So they have a lot of nice pieces that can, you know, and plus also they have great chemistry. This team's been together for years now, so they know how each other plays. They know what each player's their tendencies. They know what they like. So they're a dangerous team. They're a very dangerous team, and teams in the East should be a little scared of them because they are the Chicago, because they don't want to play them. The Chicago Bulls are a team that no one wants to play in the playoffs because playing them in a 7-game series is going to be so hard and it's going to be so draining. So watch out for the Chicago Bulls in the playoffs this year. Next team that is a dangerous underdog is the Brooklyn Nets. So the Brooklyn Nets, they play the 3-seed Toronto Raptors in the first round. I expect Brooklyn to knock off the Toronto Raptors, and if they move on into the second round, then they'll most likely play the Miami Heat. And the Brooklyn Nets are the only team in the NBA that won all their meetings with the Miami Heat this season. So Brooklyn's got Miami's number. They also have veteran leadership, even though they have a new coach in Jason Kidd. This is his first year coaching. They got veteran leadership who can coach on the floor. So they got all-star point guard Darren Williams. They got Joe Johnson. He's a veteran. And he's also a former all-star back when he was with Atlanta. They got an all-star in Paul Pierce, and he's a finals MVP. He won a championship with the Boston Celtics a couple years ago. They got Kevin Garnett, who won a championship with the Boston Celtics, and they also got a young center in Brook Lopez, who's an all-star caliber player. So the Brooklyn Nets are nice. They have a good team. They have a good core. They, again, veteran leadership. So, and they also have Miami's number. They know what it takes to beat Miami. So, expect them to, you know, turn the switch in the playoffs, even though, you know, they didn't play as well as they should have in the regular season. They are in the playoffs, so expect them to, you know, flip the switch and turn up for the playoffs, because they want to win a championship. Because, you know, Kevin Garnett's getting to the end of his career. Paul Pierce is getting to the end of his career. They got a Russian billionaire as an owner who promised the Nets fans that they were going to win a championship in 4 years, in the first 4 years that when he took over. So he's got to keep that promise. And they're in a win now. That's why they made the trade with the Boston Celtics to get Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. And they also got a bench. In the bench, they got a nice bench. They got Marcus Thornton, who's a shooter. Sean Livingston, helping his career. Because he had a horrible injury when he was with the Clippers years ago. So he's rejuvenizing his career. So Brooklyn Nets, the Chicago Bulls are the most dangerous teams, underdog teams in the East. Next team is the Memphis Grizzlies. The Memphis Grizzlies are one of the, you know, they play Oklahoma City in the first round. So expect, you know, it's going to be a tough series. OKC shouldn't expect like they're gonna cakewalk through this series, because Memphis is a very good team. They've been to the Western Conference Finals a couple years ago. They got all-stars all over. You know, Mike Conley, their point guard, he's an all-star caliber player. Zach Randolph is an all-star caliber player. Marc Gasol, he knows what it, you know, he's been in some big games, you know, internationally and in the NBA. Also, we can't forget that the Memphis Grizzlies, I want to say 3 to 4 years ago, was a team. They were the 8th seed and they knocked off the San Antonio Spurs years ago. So Memphis knows what it takes to win in the playoffs. They also, again, they made it to the Western Conference Finals a couple of years ago. They lost to OKC in the Western Conference Finals, so they want to get some payback. And also, they match up well with the Oklahoma City Thunder. So, you know, they have the advantage in the front court with Zach Randolph and Marc Gasol. And also, Mike Conley can hang with Russell Westbrook. The Memphis Grizzlies, if they want to win against Oklahoma City Thunder, they gotta find an answer for Kevin Durant, because they can't have Kevin Durant going off for 30 to 35 points a game, because that will just kill him. So they need to contain Kevin Durant. That's the big thing. I know it's easy to say and it's hard to do, but that's, they gotta contain him, or you know, just come to the realization that, you know, Kevin Durant is going to get his. He's going to get his 30 to 35 points. So let's contain, you know, Russell Westbrook or his supporting cast. Serge Ibaka, Steph Alosha, Jeremy Lamb. So they can't focus on Kevin Durant, because, you know, he's going to get his. He's going to get his points. He's going to get his assists and rebounds. They got to limit his supporting cast, and that's with Russell Westbrook. If they can get Russell Westbrook frustrated and take 20 to 25 shots and only make 10 of them, they have a very good chance of winning and knocking off Oklahoma City Thunder. Because we saw last year when Russell Westbrook went out with an injury that the Oklahoma City Thunder struggled a lot against Houston, even though they won that series, they struggled a lot. And then they eventually lost in the second round. So, Memphis Grizzlies is the most dangerous underdog team in the Western Conference. Next team that is dangerous, the next underdog team that is dangerous in the Western Conference is the Dallas Mavericks. Yes, I did predict them. You know, it wasn't going to be a competitive series against the San Antonio Spurs, but you can't take away from what they have. They do have Dirk Nowitzki. They did win a title not that while ago. They just got in a, you know, they're a team, you know, that you can't play lightly on. You can't just like overthink them. You can't just like, oh, just think this is gonna be an easy series. You can't come with that mindset, because if you do, then that's what will hurt you, and they'll just creep up on you, and all of a sudden you're sitting at home and you got eliminated from the playoffs. And that's what happened when they won their championship years ago, is that, you know, no one took them seriously. The Lakers, when they swept the Lakers, and the Lakers were the champions, they were the reigning champions, the Lakers didn't take them seriously, and then look what happened. Dallas took over and just annihilated them. So Dallas, even though I do expect San Antonio to just, you know, sweep them, you still got to give Dallas their credit. Dirk Nowitzki is still one of the best players in the game, even though he's older. They have their coach in Rick Carlisle, who is an NBA champion. He won a title, so you got to give him his credit. So I don't expect Dallas to beat San Antonio they'll probably win one game at least, but still, they are a dangerous team because they are a veteran team, and they are a team that can shock the world and, you know, make me look dumb and beat San Antonio. So Dallas is a dangerous underdog. And another team, the next team, is another team that I don't expect them to win in the first round, is the Portland Trailblazers. Portland's going up against Houston, and I think Houston does overpower them in all areas of the game. But they're a team that came out of nowhere. No one in the beginning of the year, they were the number one seed. They were off to a hot start. They were like 22-3. So they did die off, but they got an all-star caliber point guard in Damian Lillard, he's the reigning rookie of the year. They also got LaMarcus Aldridge, who's an all-star. Nicholas Batum is a nice player that complements both LaMarcus Aldridge and Damian Lillard. They do play defense. So I don't expect Portland to beat Houston, but Portland is a team that can, again, shock the world. They can be the Golden State Warriors of last year. Golden State came out of nowhere. They upsetted the Denver Nuggets, and they played well against the Spurs last year. So they can be, you know, the Golden State, the Warriors of last year, or they can be the Dallas Mavericks from years ago, or so they're a nice team. The Portland Trailblazers, they're going to be in the playoffs for years to come. They are dangerous, but I don't expect them to beat Houston in the first round. So those are the dangerous teams, the most dangerous teams. Just recap. It's the Chicago Bulls, Brooklyn Nets, Portland Trailblazers, Dallas Mavericks, and the Memphis Grizzlies. Those are the five teams that are the most dangerous underdog teams in the playoffs. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to talk about Lamar Odom. He's back in the NBA. He just signed with the New York Knicks. So We'll talk about that and see how, if he can resurrect his career. So this is Ball is Life. I am Jay Smooth, and you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. Welcome back to Ball is Life. I am Jay Smooth. So, Lamar Odom is back in the NBA. He signed a 2-year deal with the New York Knicks. They beat the deadline. According to league rules, the Knicks had until game time yesterday to sign Lamar Odom to get him on the 2013-2014 roster, and they beat the deadline by 45 minutes. So they signed Lamar Odom, and people are just like, why did they sign Lamar Odom on the last day of the season. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense to me either. But, you know, the teams are going to do what teams are going to do. Lamar Odom, so he signs with the Knicks. And, you know, everyone knows about the story about from Lamar Odom. He, you know, he had some trouble earlier in his career when he was with the Clippers the first time. You know, he was a young kid. He was kind of arrogant, kind of, you know. And then, he went to Miami, had some years there. Then he got traded. He was in that big trade to the Lakers for Shaq. And then he went to the Lakers, and, you know, that was the best years of his career when he was with the Los Angeles Lakers. He was won 2 NBA championships, was the sixth man of the year, got married to Khloe Kardashian, and all of a sudden, he just went downhill. Just woo, went downhill. He was in that Chris Paul trade that got nullified. Then, so when he found out that he was going to get traded and then didn't happen, and so he went to the Lakers management and says, you know, I want out. I want out. I don't want to be here. If you guys don't want to treat me, I'm the reigning sixth man of the year, and you want to trade me? Trade me, he says. Just trade me. So the Lakers traded him to Dallas, the Mavericks, and everyone's like, oh, Dallas, you know. Dallas came off, I think, they were the champions, so Dallas is all. You know, they got Lamar Odom, Dirk Nowitzki, Vince Carter. They're expecting to make a deep run. That was a nice pickup. But then all of a sudden, Lamar Odom is not playing like the reigning sixth man of the year. He's playing like a guy that barely made the team. His numbers decreased dramatically. And everyone, what's wrong? And then the Mavericks send him to the D League. And if no one knows, if you guys don't know what the D League is the developmental league. That's like the minor leagues of the NBA. So they send him down there. He plays a couple of games there, and then they cut him. And then everyone's like, what's wrong? What's wrong? And he was depressed. You know, he got traded. He was the happiest man alive. He's with the Los Angeles Lakers, sixth man of the year. Two-time NBA champion. He was married to a Kardashian. He had his own reality show. And then he went to Dallas, and he looked depressed. You can even tell when he was on the court, he looked so depressed and looked like he didn't want to be there. So now, so then he went with the Clippers. He had I don't want to say productive year, but he had an okay year. He came out the bench. He did all right. He did what he was supposed to do, but he never got back to the sixth man of the year performance. We never saw that player ever again. And then the Clippers didn't re-sign him. Well, they wanted to, and then, you know, after that season in the summer, it came out that he was addicted to cocaine and he was having marriage problems and all this, and that he didn't want to go in the rehab. TMZ was like reporting he checked into rehab, and then that night he checked out, and it was just a big old mess. It was a big old mess, and it's crazy because he went from, you know, he was on top of the world. He was an NBA champion, sixth man of the year, playing for one of the Los Angeles Lakers, who is like the most known team, known NBA team throughout the world, playing with alongside Kobe Bryant, Pau Gasol. His head coach was Phil Jackson, and then he went from, you know, being, I don't want to say being broke, but he was addicted to cocaine, and his life just crumbled before our eyes. And then a couple of months ago, I think he signed with, he's going to Spain, so he's going to Spain to play basketball. He signed one of their top basketball teams, and now he's with the New York Knicks. And I think this is Phil Jackson trying to help Lamar Odom out. Because, you know, Phil Jackson now is the president of the New York Knicks. He runs, he controls, I don't want to say everything, but he controls all basketball-related things. He controls all of that. So, he is, so I think this is Phil Jackson to trying to help out Lamar Odom and doing him this favor. Because, you know, the Knicks are not that good anyway. And also, plus, this can, like, if Lamar Odom does go back to his sixth man of the year form and he does play good, this is a great signing for the New York Knicks because Lamar Odom will be a great asset on the bench if he does get back to that form. But if he plays like he did in Dallas, then it looks like it's a dumb move. So it's a low, I don't want to say it's a low risk, high bargain for the New York Knicks. And, you know, maybe this will help him because, you know, this is his last shot. If he does not do anything with this opportunity, Lamar Odom will never play in the NBA again. But this is his last shot in the NBA, so he's got to take full advantage of it. And maybe, you know, he will play better because Phil Jackson is, you know, did bring him back to the NBA. And Lamar Odom did play his best basketball while Phil Jackson was the head coach in the Los Angeles Lakers. So maybe this helps him out. Then maybe this, you know, he feels comfortable. He feels like even though Phil Jackson won't be coaching, he knows that Phil Jackson got his back. And he gets back to the sixth man of the year performance. Because when Phil Jackson was his coach, he was playing the best basketball in his career. You know, he won two championships with the Los Angeles Lakers. He was a key part of that Laker team he was a key part of that, those Lakers teams that won the NBA championship in the finals back in 2008 and 2009. And, you know, Kobe loved them, Los Angeles loved them, I loved them. And then, you know, because I actually do want to see him succeed again in the NBA because he seems like such a nice guy. And he is a very good player. He's a great player. It's just he needs to be in the right situation. Lamar Odom is one of those players that needs to be in the right situation to succeed. To me, I think that he was in a great situation with the Los Angeles Lakers. He had a great coach, great team around him, great chemistry. He's living in a great city, Los Angeles. And that's, you know, that's where he played his best years. It's like in 2008-2009 season, he was shooting 49% from the field. The year before that, in 2007-2008, he was shooting 52% from the field. 2010-2011, his last year when he was the sixth man of the year, he was shooting 53% from the field, 38% from the three-point land, and he scored a total of 1,180 points throughout that season, and that's the year he won Sixth Man of the Year. So, if he can get back into a place where it's good for Lamar Odom, he will produce and be a good player. So, Phil Jackson is taking a chance on him, but I think what Phil's thinking is that he's putting Lamar Odom in a great situation. You know, New York is, you know, the city is the same caliber as Los Angeles. Phil Jackson's going to hire a coach that, you know, is that's going to run the triangle offense, and that's where Lamar had his most success. So Lamar Odom, this is Lamar Odom's final shot, and he needs to take fully advantage of it, because if he does not, he will not play in the NBA ever again, because he's getting older. He's 34 years old at the end of his career, so we'll see what happens. But it's a low-risk, high-bargain signing for the Knicks. And this is Phil Jackson's first signing as the president of the New York Knicks. So this is going to say a lot. So it depends on what happens here, because if this is, if Lamar Odom turns out to be a great success, then, you know, New York's going to say Phil Jackson's like, he's the Messiah. He's Jesus. He knows. He can predict the future. How did he know that Lamar Odom was going to come out to put out a great performance like this? Or if Lamar Odom tanks and bombs, Phil Jackson will never hear the end of it from the New York media. So Phil Jackson's putting in a lot of trust into Lamar Odom, and I think Lamar should understand that. So I think Lamar Odom's going to give it his all. But I would love to see Lamar Odom get back to be winning the top bench, to be like the sixth man of the year again, to be that player again. So we'll see what happens, because I think Lamar Odom deserves it. He's been through a lot these last couple of years, so he deserves it. And hopefully Phil Jackson knows what he's doing. That would be all today. You know, we had a great show. Talked about the NBA playoffs, which starts this weekend. A lot of great matchups in there, so check that out. And it's gonna be a lot of fun. You know, basketball's coming to the end. We got from here on till June. So it's gonna be a great postseason. It's going to be a great postseason. There's a lot of good matchups, a lot of young teams, a lot of teams that underdog teams that are going to make a lot of surprises. So the NBA playoffs start this weekend, so check that out. So NBA playoffs start this weekend. I want to thank you for joining me and listening to me today. This is Jay Smooth. And this is Balls Live on radio.dominican.edu. Please listen in again next week, same time. Next week, Thursday, same time, 12 to 1. Balls Live, this is Jay Smooth, and you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. Have a great weekend, everybody.